Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Boom! Flatboy, why'd you decide to go with this? I don't think we've... Have you ever played Anne and... Is it Anne and Nancy Wilson?
I don't know which Wilson it is.
Was Nancy married to Cameron Crowe?
I don't know who Crowsey married.
And that's who the film Almost Famous... It was really autobiographical.
I just don't know who the folks are.
This is my parents' favorite jam.
That right?
Yeah, so an ode to them.
And today is their anniversary?
I see snow flurries.
I hear whistles.
Try to focus, Doug. We're talking about Almost Famous.
Yeah, but we're looking out on the Kirkwood Brewhouse patio. Doug, we're only like 4 or 5 months away from warm weather.
Yeah. And this is going to impact the amount of people that show up to use the commenter studio.
The cuck studio, some call it.
So far, none.
I thought someone would show up and try it out.
Plowboy, do we know if the mic works to communicate in here?
I don't know what pot to pot up. Doug,
I suppose you could wander out there. I don't know if it's locked. I don't know what the deal with it
is. I can let him in. I do have access to that.
Oh, there's a button that lets people in?
Yeah.
Where's the secret? Is it a secret Matt Lauer button? It
says push to exit.
What time is Gould? 8:30?
That's right. Derek Gould, 8:30.
Well, I went out and checked the beer tap. I can go check the Cuck Studio, Mike.
Yeah, why not?
And you can take a smoke while you're out there, too.
In the meantime, here's Mike Francesa being...
No.
What?
All right, how long is this from 7 years ago?
No, is this...
We're going to smear this guy again?
What one are you going to? I think a couple are dated. The bug one, I think this was his 10-year anniversary of his show.
And he's been on how many years?
I don't know. I think 30.
Okay, so this from 20 years ago.
Maybe,
we want to play. Smear this guy. Just to make sure that we can look almost acceptable
one,
and tolerable. By
so what happened? There's a bug in the studio?
I think he's kind of... We've done this before to where we've had issues regarding our station. Instead of directly bringing it up, we kind of indirectly bring it up on air and try to make sure the problem is fixed. I think he's doing that because there might be a bug infestation in the studio and they haven't resolved it yet, so you can take a listen.
If you walk towards the coffee and the machines, it's like walking through a wave of locusts. I'm sitting here. I've killed 3 bugs since I got on the air today. Right here. They're flying around my head. Where are they coming from? They sent some, 80-year-old guy in here with a can, and they say, oh, we fixed it. It's been going on for a year.
Oh, here he goes.
Must be the same people who fixed the FM station.
I like it.
We're supposed to know what happened to the FM station? What happened to them? We don't know. We just like
I don't know, but you could tell by the music at the beginning. We'll play it again.
Okay.
If you walk towards the
that's like in the 80s, for sure.
If you walk towards the coffee and the machine...
Because they had this long intro, so I think this was dated because he doesn't really use...
Sounds like a Billy Joel song in the background. Keeping the faith?
I don't know what...
So what? Somebody was texting in that Barstool offered Francesa a job?
That was... I don't know if it was reported. I think a caller asked if he would ever work at Barstool. I don't know if there's been any immediate interest. I'm sure Barstool would take Mike Francesa as a partner if they would like, but and he discussed that, if that's what clip you're getting into.
Yeah. No, go ahead and hit the lever plows, eh?
Listen, I like the Barstool guys. You know, they've created a lot of, T-shirts about me, which have all been well done. They just created another one this past week.
They got the Sirius channel now.
I think that my day of being part of that group is past. I think that it's for somebody else. I think that, first of all, I don't think they need me. They have their own group. Their characters, I get a kick out of them. You know, listen, they're not for 10-year-olds. Okay, they're going to be a little edgy. So you got to already understand the world before you're going to be. You got to be 17, 18 years old before you're going to be involved with them. So you can't be 10 or 12 listening to them, because they're going to be a little edgy about what they do. I mean, they're going to combine some other stuff with that. So, but they're characters. They are, and they've always been big supporters of the show.
Doug, so he will not be joining Barstool.
Okay.
I'd be too old to be on Barstool.
It's nice to finally get an answer to that because I was really worried. I've never heard Barstool.
Really?
No.
You hear him every day.
Where? Oh, yeah, on our show.
I enjoy some of the content. It's kind of up my alley as far as my age bracket, my interest level. So I don't like all of it, but...
And you're what sure. do you like and what don't you like? Ah, yes.
I actually like Portnoy a lot because he kind of speaks his mind. I know he's very edgy and risque, but I think I forgot his cohort. They do a little, usually about a 2 or 3 minute video, and they are fantastic. They do the latest topics, and I like PFT Commenter.
Doug, do you like PFT
Commenter? I like PFT.
I like PFT Commenter.
I don't know.
And I like Big Cat.
I mean, Barstool chicks are really annoying. There's some content that isn't for me, but for the most part.
Don't act like they're really annoying. You enjoy them.
I feel like he's setting up this Bella
Thorne
clip.
Well, I'm not setting up anything.
No, but you enjoy it.
I prefer to not play them,
I guess. Why would
you
do that, though? Why would you pretend like you find them annoying when you enjoy them?
Well, I find the comments funny. I recommend, you guys to go to the Barstool chicks page and check out the comments.
Doug, will you do that today?
The diehard Stewies are not fans of the Barstool chicks.
But do you really find them annoying, or do you sort of like them?
I like Fran. She's a good chick.
Fran all day.
Rhea's stepped up her game in the outfit department, so she's looking pretty fly lately.
Okay, but
so.
Why would you say they're annoying? If just because we're annoyed by them doesn't mean you have to
be. Well, I find them to be annoying, but... You know, very attractive. Some takes are better than others.
Let me hear this take on Bella Thorne's picture game. Doug, have you heard her take on
Bella Thorne?
I don't know who any of these people are.
Bella Thorne tweeted out a picture today saying, I'm hot. But minutes before that, she tweeted out a picture, yes, I am in the bathroom with her on the toilet. So she just goes from one extreme to the other.
Honestly, she's probably the most real celebrity in the game. Everybody has their good days where they're like, oh, damn, I look good. And then sometimes, you know, people have their bad days, and she posts everything.
That's another thing. Bella Thorne got two tattoos. She got one, I love you, with Mod Sun's handwriting. And then she got another one, bite me, right by her butt, and I think it's sexy.
She probably has a lot of tattoos that we just don't know about in a lot of various locations.
Bella being fully self-aware by making another Instagram account called That Weird Bitch Bella, where she just posts all weird pictures of herself.
She doesn't care what anybody thinks in Hollywood. She does her, she goes and does whatever she wants to do. It's refreshing.
Bella Thorne just looks at everyone, and she's like, hey, guys, I'm a freak, and I want you all to know it.
Who's the hell's Bella Thorne?
You didn't get the name right.
Who is it?
Dorn was the third baseman.
Oh, Roger Dorn. Didn't like to really get behind a ball.
Yeah, he would Toro the ground balls. Okay. You know why? Because he was protecting what he thought was his future as a spokesperson.
Who is this Bella gal?
That's his daughter, I believe.
I actually have no idea.
You don't know either?
No, I don't know. She's hot. I mean,
what does she do?
I don't know. She acts.
She's an actress. I'll give you some.
What do you got?
I'll look up some movies she's been in.
Yeah. Okay, we don't even know.
She's dating someone famous, too. I got to find out who it is.
I thought she was briefly with Lord Disick.
Yeah, now he's gone to Lionel Richie's daughter.
Just send something to Bill for a second, then I'll be with you on the...
We're playing clips about an actress. None of us really know who she is.
Well, I forgot she was in Big Love. She was in Big Love.
Because it's a really dumb show.
None of us know.
Don't you understand what we do is we have a bad
show. Another show playing at the same time. Right.
We have a bad show, so we play bad moments from good shows to pretend that ours is still okay.
I guess.
I'll send him a number, so that's what I'm doing right now. Just give me a second, folks. I just got to send Bill a number.
But we introduced Bella Dawn like it's some big star.
Is it the regular one? Still the same number? Okay.
And we got two girls we don't know talking about a star we don't know.
And then we have Plowsy, who's a main player in this show, calling out the Barstool chicks.
I didn't say their content was gold, but I do.
No, but
then you
backpedaled all the way to some takes are better than others.
Some people like some things, and some people don't like other things.
Tim will be interested in this.
What do we have? What do we have? And what do we have?
She briefly dated rapper Lil Peep.
Didn't Lil Peep pass away last month?
I don't know.
Yeah, she paid tribute to him after he died.
Lil Peep.
On August 23rd, 2016, Thorne came out as being bisexual. So there you go.
Okay.
God, I like
great.
That. Now, does that.
What a great.
In this age of enlightenment where we're not judging people negatively for this or for that, because people should have the right to do as they please. Mm-hmm. Do we have to like them because they come out as being? Does that mean that you are you
I'm
are
less
close
of a person because I'm not?
Yeah, if you don't suddenly like the person that you had no interest in before because of an announcement like this, does that make you a bad person?
I think it does in some people's eyes. Yeah,
considering that we have no idea who she is to begin with.
That's right.
She was an Entourage.
Was she really?
It just says her role was Kid.
Doug, do you remember her as
no,
Kid?
No.
Is that the one where they thought they had the big movie role and then somehow it was taken off the table and then Ari had to go to work to save it? Is that what it was?
I guess she was one of those Disney chicks because she was on Wizard of Waverly Place.
Doug, Portnoy is a one seed in 2017's... And I don't know what word this is.
Doug, can I save you? Can I save you some trouble?
Essiest Twitter account bracket. I guess that's the S word.
It doesn't matter what you're saying to Doug right now because he is looking at the value of Bitcoin on his phone. He is obsessed.
15,867.
Every 2 minutes.
You got some skin in the game, Jack?
It's up almost 1,000 since I walked in here this morning.
Why don't you get in?
Yeah. Because I'm an idiot.
My analysts tell me the market cap's 35,000. Does that scare you? Or are you going to buy up until
it's
hits there?
15,000, no.
No, so you could ship.
Half the world says, and the smart people say, don't do it. It's all a fraud. It's all
who says don't do it?
The guy who runs Chase Bank just said that he'll fire any of his people that recommend or buy Bitcoin for any of their clients. Mm. Warren Buffett says, don't do it. It's a sham. Don't do it.
What did Bella Dorn say about it?
I don't know. And all I know is every time I look at it, it's 1,000 points higher than it was a day ago.
Well, why don't you either buy it or quit bitching about it?
I'm not bitching about it. I'm just pointing it out. Something big is going on right now, and we're not part of it.
There's a lot of big things. We're not part of any of it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Doug, but Lil Peep was trash, respectfully. Thanks, Manchild79.
I don't know Lil Peep.
He looked like a very interesting cat.
Clip that off.
Based on what?
His photos.
Okay.
A lot of face tats.
Guys, I'm with the Plow Star, and I am officially joining hashtag Team Fran over hashtag Team Rhea. Thanks. That's from Prod Joe's more popular MMF.
Fran's more real. Rhea's a little bit more shallow for my taste, so I'm glad this guy agrees.
I just got a message from someone who works here with the station, bought Bitcoin at $1,200. It's now at $15,000.
Making good money. Mm-hmm.
I would say.
So then are you going to flip that?
Well, I don't know. This is someone who works within the station proper. In at 1,200, it's now at 15,000.
I didn't know people around here had their ear to the street.
AM Sports Talk Radio, of course, there's investors as far as the eye can see. What's wrong with you, boy?
Roger Dorn got cucked by Wild Thing, Doug. Thanks. That's from Stubby Applause.
Local journalism actually got him in a little bit of a tussle with his wife.
Dorn?
If you remember, they were doing a live shot in the hotel, and Dorn was with that that hooker, or maybe it would have been one of his flyover gals, and she saw him on the news making out with her, and that's why
she decided she needed a Wild Thing.
Yeah.
Charlie Sheen.
Okay.
Who did Tom Berenger sleep with?
I don't know.
Rene Russo, right?
I don't know.
Correct, yes.
Thank you. Willie Mays Hayes? Anybody?
I don't know that he had a love scene in that picture.
Wesley Snipe?
It was a good movie. But I don't think
almost so. 30 years old, Doug.
Yeah, I know.
By the way, as far as the Cuck Studio, I wasn't going to stand out there all day. It was cold and Plausy wasn't hitting the button to let me in.
Oh, yeah. I forgot you went out there.
We forgot about you.
Yeah. But there's a bunch of wires hanging there that aren't connected, so.
Maybe we should try it again. This time we won't forget about it.
Well, if there's
wires hanging that aren't connected to anything.
Going there. You could be shocked.
And there's no headsets in there, so you couldn't be able to hear. They couldn't hear us anyway.
Well, the Cuck Studio's not properly prepared.
It's half cucked.
Guys, Dave Portnoy is 41 years old. Thanks. Doug, does that surprise
you? Important. It doesn't surprise me since I don't really think I've ever seen him.
By the way, would you guess that he's 41? We're the same age. I would have thought he's younger than me.
I would have guessed 36, so not too far off.
Yeah, I think that's probably exactly where I would have gone. Huh. And he's the founder?
El Presidente.
Fair enough.
Well, that's what is at El Presidente is his Twitter handle name.
And he's a number one seed for the essiest, as in crappiest, Twitter account is what Stubby Applause
said. I mean, there's a lot of...
Where is this tournament bracket? Is this Lenardi?
I haven't seen this bracket. I don't know if Lenardi is... in on that just yet, but there's not a lot of people that like him. I agree, but I'm a fan of what he's created, and some of the things he says is a little risque, but overall, I think he puts out a good product.
Is that the bracket that was on the fan page yesterday?
Was there a bracket? I didn't see.
There was. Somebody just put my name in there because I think that Mia Khalifa is on this bracket, so he said, interested, Iggy, and I don't know what the bracket was. It was too small. I couldn't see it.
Doug, we had a wonderful edition of questions from the audience yesterday. At times it got dark. At times it got dark.
A little bit, yeah. About?
You know, I don't remember. I know it was, but I know I came away from it. Oh, that was a good one. I just posted the link on the fan page. Subscribe to the Tim McKernan Show on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you may PLTD. And I see we have a clip here. Iggy reveals his favorite Christmas movie on questions from the audience. What do you think his favorite Christmas movie is?
Iggy's favorite
the
Christmas
Plowboy movie. And I had the same answer. Iggy's was different.
I'm going to say...
Christmas Vacation.
That was Plowboy and Me.
Yeah.
And it's the incorrect answer?
That's what I would have guessed.
Incorrect for Iggy. That's correct for me and Plowboy.
All I can say is...
How about Elf?
If this is the clip I'm thinking of, I hope there's some beeps in there.
Plowboy, are there beeps in there, baby?
I think C-Mark got it on lockdown.
Sounds like the chain of command, though, has questions.
We got to block out words from a Christmas movie.
Well, didn't Jimmy Stewart work really blue?
No, he did not. He never did.
So you want me
so
to play
gonna
the
hear
clip?
A clip?
Yeah, okay.
And try to guess
I didn't know, Doug, you were going to... Okay.
Will we know instantly what movie it is?
Yeah.
Well, he'll tell you, yeah.
Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh, without a doubt, Bad Santa.
Bad Santa with the great Billy Bob Thornton.
Yes, just maybe the greatest scene ever. When he's asked, it's my understanding you were fornicating with a large woman in the dressing room. Mm. Billy Bob Thornton. Look, buddy, I've a lot of fat women in my life, but I've never fornicated with anybody.
Mm. Hey, come on.
Greatest.
And that, for you, puts you in the holiday spirit.
Just to see Billy Bob Thornton. And he's Danny Santa Claus, the kind of chubby kid, sits on his lap. Look out, kid, you're squishing the nuts. Mm-hmm. I mean, that to me is...
That's cinematography,
if you
Jeff.
See a Santa like that in the mall... You're going to him.
That's not Christmas.
That's Christmas.
That's not Christmas.
I agree with
Iggy. He just had a look of pride on his face, like I've done good work.
It's a Christmas movie.
Doug, by definition, it is a Christmas film.
Okay, but it's not the Christmas spirit.
Now, White Christmas with Bing Crosby was pretty good, too.
David Bowie.
Totally different type of picture.
Doug, what's your favorite Christmas movie?
I guess it would be Christmas Vacation, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's such a great flick.
Yeah.
You know where they don't have good Christmas movies? On Hallmark, and again, no disrespect to fellow professionals, but they have a Hallmark Christmas movie marathon that my wife watches, and like the other Hallmark movies, they're all sort of romantic comedy, more romantic dramas, and they're all the same thing. The woman's home for the holidays, and she just had a breakup, and the guy that's her friend,
he did her wrong. I'll tell you that.
There's a good one coming out. I'm interviewing Viva A. Fox. Vivica A. Fox.
Oh.
She was in Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yep, she has a...
she was in Independence Day.
Empire.
Was, yeah.
She has a Christmas movie coming on Hallmark that I'm talking about next week.
Usually another background of the Hallmark movie, I believe, is the gentleman who, the woman who has just returned home for, has a white-collar job. And the hometown love interest from years gone by has a blue-collar job.
Or something artsy.
Mm-hmm.
And then she realizes that she still has feelings for her love from grade school.
Right. And maybe she really could be happy if she went back and lived in the small town where she grew up.
Because she just got divorced and moved back to her hometown with her kids.
But it's Sweet Home Alabama, Doug? Sweet Home Alabama?
Well, I don't know about that.
Reese Witherspoon, baby.
Okay.
Patrick Dempsey.
Yes.
Well, he's got a nice head of hair, doesn't he?
Well, yeah, a lot of people do compared to us.
Mm-mm.
Some have a nice set of shoulder hair.
You don't see that as often.
Joining us right now on the Appliance Discounter phone lines to talk Sweet Home Alabama and also the Cardinals' pursuit of Giancarlo Stanton, ladies and gentlemen, from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Derek Gould. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning. Am I walking into a political conversation, Sweet Home Alabama?
No, we were just talking about shoulder hair and Patrick Dempsey, mostly.
Right.
Oh, okay, so definitely a political discussion.
That's right. Cool. That's right. So you got a chance to talk to John Mozeliak last night. I kind of wonder how that works, because obviously you have a rapport with him. I sense you guys have a good rapport, but I also sense that the Cardinals do a good job of going on lockdown when they're in the lab, so to speak, trying to concoct a deal. But you did get a chance to talk to him. And while he wouldn't say Stanton's name specifically, it seemed, is that accurate, that he did talk about the situation?
Yeah, I mean, well, he made a public appearance last night.
Yeah.
So he's in public, so I went to public. I mean, you know, that's all. And, you know, he appeared on KMOX last night as part of their countdown to opening day kickoff show. And so I went and, you know, watched the show, and Benjamin Hockman joined me. And then we talked with him afterwards. And, you know, I get it. I mean, you're right. I mean, you think of just the two contrasts here were pretty stark yesterday. You had Bobby Evans of the San Francisco Giants talking a lot about with the San Francisco Chronicle about his meeting with Stanton and acknowledging that Stanton was there and
engaged.
And he was engaged. And some of the quotes, I'm like, well, maybe I get why Mo doesn't want to talk, because some of these don't exactly read great. You know, and then you have on the other side, you have the Cardinals who, hey, you know, they made a promise that they wouldn't talk about things, so they're not going to talk about things. And their preference has always been that they're going to pledge to the agent or the player or to the other teams that they don't have any want to have any involvement in talking, and they hope that the other side honors that as well. But their thought is that they're not going to be the one that breaks that wall. So you got the contrast yesterday, but you know Mo gets it that it's not a secret what they're doing, and you know if he can address in some ways their approach, you know he will. I also find it interesting. You guys see this all the time, and maybe even know it better than I. I also find it interesting how there are some teams that want to promote the action that they're doing to generate excitement around that team. The Cardinals maybe don't need to do that. They certainly don't need to do that. They just sell tickets without the buzz. So that also allows them to do that. Whereas, you know, in some other cities and some other towns, you know, the baseball team that can take headlines from a football team, is a reason to talk about some of the actions that are about transactions and trades, not on the field.
Still, you've read the stuff on Twitter. There are those naysayers in the fan base, the Cardinals fan base, that say it's just a ruse. The Cardinals aren't really going after Stanton. They're just pretending they are, but they don't
really
want to spend the money.
Ruse.
I mean, it's funny to me. All right, so to me, my questions are, I have a twofold question. One, because I'm not bothering Mazalok and his guys. They pretty much told me to leave them alone, so I am. But I know for a fact that they have already laid out plans for Plan A, Plan B, Plan C. So it's not like if they don't get Stanton, they're like, now what do we do? They've already laid out all the scenarios. So I want you to confirm that. And also, the folks that think it's over because the Cardinals, according to Mish and some other folks, are still in third place in the Stanton sweepstakes, according to the reporting of some. So therefore, they must be out of it. So question A is, how far into the future of the Cardinals' plan in terms of fallback positions if they don't get Stanton? And two, is this thing really over for the Cardinals like some folks are saying it is?
So part one is, right, yes, the Cardinals entered this offseason with whatever phrase you want to use, plans A through N, a spectrum, a menu of things to work on, and they have worked on. You know, this is not one of the things is that with Gersh in the GM role and Mozeliak in the president role, is they have definitely divided and conquered. Well, not yet conquered, but definitely divided in their pursuit of things, so that they've been able to work on the relationships that they have, or in Gersh's case, maybe talk with some of the new general managers or new assistant general managers that are out there to start developing those relationships. But they've worked on multiple things all along the way, and it's probably bears repeating, and I apologize, you guys are probably tired of me saying this, but a conversation with the Marlins is not just a conversation about Stanton. They, you know, if they don't even have to hang up the phone to continue conversations with the Marlins, if they hear back from them that Stanton is not going to come to the Cardinals, they can go, okay, how about these other guys, which they've already had talks about. So they have that. Then you have the stuff with the Rays that they've been in, you know, contact with the Rays about the Alex Colomé. They want to have more discussions with Toronto if if Stan turns him down, that there are other possibilities out there. And the Cardinals have all of them on simmer at this point while they focus on the one that is just about cooked. So, you're right. I mean, and that's sort of the good way to go about business. I know of very few teams that say, this is our guy, and if we don't get him, then we're throwing up our hands and taking a Christmas vacation. Every team works through a list of possibilities and has backup to their backups or alternates to their alternates, and the Cardinals are no different. And to your other point, you know, I mean, it's really only Stanton knows, and a lot of the stuff that I've read about where the Cardinals rank, or a lot of the reporting that I've read about where the Cardinals rank, is coming from people who know Stanton, or are friends of Stanton, or acquaintances of Stanton, but not from Stanton, not from folks in the room where he's making this decision. I do think it's fair that the Cardinals have to overcome geography, and the Giants have to overcome the Dodgers. I think that is as clear as a way and as solid as a way as I feel I can put it. Otherwise, I would just be speculating, which I know we all want to do, right? And all of a sudden you start speculating on things that we really don't know. Oh, well, St. Louis doesn't have a nightlife. Well, that means Stanton must not want to come here. Well, I don't know, you know. I haven't asked him that. He came here a few years ago to have that mask. You guys remember that mask that he wore that mm-hmm. had the G in
mm-hmm.
it?
Yeah.
Okay, that was made here in St. Louis, and I talked to him about that. And he came to St. Louis. And, yeah, I mean, he mentioned, you know, he was here for the fitting and to design it and see what was possible. And, you know, there wasn't a lot for him to do on downtown except for work on the mask. He noted that. Is that going to be what tilts the balance? I don't know. I mean, it just seems like, to me, and again, you know, Tim, maybe you'd be the best person to chime in on this, but to me, sometimes, you know, the fact that Stanton, all the reasons Stanton wouldn't choose St. Louis is more revealing about the inferiority complex some folks have about the Midwest, or some of the questions we have about our own city and how appealing it is, and not anything to do with Stanton. It says more about us.
That's a fair point. Yeah, I think the whenever this is resolved, and if he does comment, and if John Mozeliak does comment, I think it leads to a much larger discussion, which is one of the reasons why I think this story is fascinating, in addition to you're talking about the reigning National League MVP and the
right.
impact it could have on the franchise, both in the short term and the direction it takes in the long term. So there is a large discussion to have. I was saying yesterday, Derek, and I don't know if you heard me say, because I don't think I've written about it or anything like that, that I'm not of the I think one of the things that you just made reference to, the nightlife in St. Louis, the lack thereof, especially in comparison to Miami or L.A. or San Francisco, I just don't think that that's really, I can't imagine that that's really a factor, because in 2017, these guys don't go out like that.
I agree.
They can't go out like that.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Because of phones, and they don't want to.
Yeah. No, and you're exactly right. And it's not just 2017. It's also just the crush of the season, you know? I mean, these guys they're traveling more. There's more demands on them. They're at the ballpark longer. You know, you just don't – you're right. You don't see because almost everything they do in public can be recorded by somebody on Periscope
yeah,
or
right.
Snapchat or whatever. And also just the demands on their time are that much. And I find that most guys, it's not that they want to go out. It's if they go out, they want somewhere private where they can be themselves and know it. Imagine St. Louis has places like that. Probably not as many. Oh, certainly not as many as Miami. Certainly not as many as San Francisco or L.A. But if that's really what it comes down to, then goodness. But – I mean, I think there's a larger story, like you said, and I think it speaks to the changing place of the Cardinals. You know, the Cardinals don't have the same cachet to sell in the game that they used to. Other teams have caught up. Other teams have better cities, or I don't know about better, bigger cities. Other teams have the same sort of fans. Other teams have the same amount of money. And maybe the modern player just isn't buying into the history like some of the other guys. And also, the market has changed. You're not making the deals for a Scott Rolen or making the deal for a Jim Edmonds where they come in and then decide to stay because they like the place. And if anything, that's the deal that the Cardinals are trying to make again here,
yeah,
where find somebody who they can get in via trade and stick around and maybe like it.
Derek, let's go back to the potential reason for why he would not want to come to St. Louis. And again, I think you're right. Although it is possible, again, it's a speculative discussion, but that it might not necessarily, and Craig Mish said this, and I'm not looking to then advance off of his theory and then build off it as if it's a truth and advance a discussion. That would be irresponsible. But what he said when he joined us on Monday was he used to think it, regarding Stanton's disinterest in accepting a trade to St. Louis, it was rooted in geography. And now, Mish said on Monday, that he's not so sure that that's what it's about. So, again, I recognize that it's speculative, but then what a lot of people took that to mean is that that means he either doesn't like what he perceives to be the clubhouse in St. Louis, he may not like the idea of Mike Matheny. And
he
so
might not like a 20-minute commute on Highway 40. Might really be against Highway 40.
No, I-64, Doug.
Yeah.
Oh,
let's get current, please, Derek.
Sorry. I heard that he doesn't want to be in an SEC town because all SEC towns do is care about football, and he wants to be in a real baseball town.
I respect that.
I don't know.
I'm going to tweet that out and then just let you have fun with your mentions all day.
Be a free for all. But I don't know what to do with that. You know, it's one thing one day, it's another thing the next. I don't know. You know, none of it is from Stanton.
Right.
That's the only thing I can say is none of it is, you know, and maybe Stanton's whispering in somebody's ear and it's getting out and we'll all learn that, hey, man, Stanton was the source for all that. And okay, that's fine. But as of right now, we don't know that and we don't know anything from Stanton. And this is what I think I've learned this offseason, or I've learned a way to describe it. Is reporting abhors a vacuum. And the Stanton saga has created all these little vacuums of what we don't know because we cannot crawl in his ear and take a Pixar look around his brain to decide what he's thinking. Reporting abhors a vacuum. And so there's a rush to fill that vacuum with speculation because just the two things that you said, and I'm sure Craig's having folks tell him that, but you know, just consider the two things that you just told me. You know, I mean, a month ago, we're reading things on tweets about how the Cardinals are out. He won't accept the deal. There's no chance. Why are the Cardinals even in? The Cardinals are out. You know, this person is reporting that he won't approve a trade to the Cardinals. This next person is approving a trade to the Cardinals. And you guys had me on and you asked me about that. And I said, look, the Cardinals are going to stay in this. They have not heard that from Stanton. Well, what happened last week?
They met.
So, hey,
I'm really talented.
I was really wrong on that one, huh?
Well, that initial story came from a reporter from the Boston Herald who quoted a quote-unquote a baseball source.
It did not come from him. It came
No. Hear me out. The guy in Boston, the Herald guy, where all these headlines, Cardinals and Red Sox are out, came from, and the actual meat of the story, and maybe he didn't write the headline, was according to a baseball source who said he was told that by someone. It didn't even say who told him. So it didn't come from Stanton. We don't know. It was a source that said he was told this.
All right. So if we're going to go through the rabbit hole here.
Yeah, let's do
it. There were two reporters who put out on Twitter, this is long ago, month and a half ago, before the GM meetings, that Stanton would not approve a deal to St. Louis. And I was asked constantly about these. And I said that that's not coming from Stanton. That is coming from people who are speculating on Stanton's preference. The Cardinals have not been told that. They're staying in this. And I've been rather consistent about that. They wanted to get to a point where Stanton told them no, not a reporter, not Twitter, not speculation. Now, the Boston Herald story that you're talking about, that came at the GM meetings, and I tried to explain this as well in the Post-Dispatch, that was what the executives with other teams not involved in the conversation were telling people. That was the sentiment in the lobby was, well, Stanton doesn't want to go there. But if you then peel the onion, which is our job, is to peel the onion and find out, well, is that just speculation? Is that just supposition? Is that just presumption? Or is that something these people know? And when you got to the middle of the onion, you just found out it was supposition.
Well, I mean, the only reason I bring it up is not to revisit it, but I said at that time, that's not enough to make me believe that it's true. You don't say a baseball source says he was told, and all of a sudden the headline is Cardinals are out. I said, that doesn't make me believe it. So, I mean,
I'm not sure what to tell you. I mean, I've been trying to be consistent on the reporting on this. You know, the Cardinals, even at that time, the Cardinals had not been told they were out. They intended to press on. And, you know, and I had folks, some of the people that you have mentioned, some other folks, you know, who are reporters who are saying, no, the Cardinals, he won't approve a trade. All I can tell you is I've been trying to be consistent with this and what happened last week.
They met.
Good answer again.
That's what I'm here to do. Right. I answer the question.
I was told there wouldn't be a quiz.
Well, there it is. Mm. So let me ask you this, Derek. You did get a chance to talk to John Mozeliak, and it seemed like there was a consistent theme throughout what understandably was, and I totally respect, by the way, and if the Cardinals were the ones handling the way the Giants were, I would be critical of it because I just don't think it does any good.
People,
especially in this position, they want things kept confidential. So you have Evans doing what he's doing and Mozeliak handling it the way he is. I like the latter. But with that said, Mozeliak seemed to, at least in your story on STLtoday.com and in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, say the line patience. He kept going, the patience is their virtue, the patience is what's their advantage. What do you think that means?
So I think it speaks to what Kat was talking about, is that they have a lot of things lined up that they're pleased with as far, and he stressed this to me. He goes, there are a lot of ways that we can improve our club. It's not just this one way. And I think it speaks to, you know, look, they can wait. There hasn't been any movement at all on any of the relievers that they're interested in. They were able to move when the market was moving on a starter that interests them. They wanted to go Michaelis. I kind of mixed his name and Bernie Miklas there. So
I noticed that.
Yeah, that was I apologize.
No problem.
But thanks, Doug.
That's fine. I like fellowship.
I do like fellowship, especially in the holiday season. Yeah. I feel like I'm gathered around the Yule.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, that would be a great show. We could all have a fire and tell, like, you know, Christmas stories.
That'd be nice. I'd wear a cardigan.
Yeah, I would too.
I would too. I would do that with patches on my elbows.
Mm. God, I like
warm
that.
And fuzzy there. I don't know if you were answering question midstream, but I have one that's pressing. We'll get back to the other question.
I was in the middle of tweeting the answer, and now I feel like if I tweet out that Derek wants to wear patches on his elbows, people are going to go, boy, this guy really is screwed up, isn't he?
Listen here, patches.
I was asked if I looked especially dorky on TV yesterday.
Who said that?
I don't know. Somebody on Twitter.
Oh, go figure.
He's a dork on his chat. Was he especially dorky on TV?
Nice.
I'm happy to read the reports that Reyes apparently, and I'm saying apparently, I have no firsthand knowledge, reading of the reports. I'm not hearing. I'm reading. I want to stress that. Thank you for laughing. That Reyes is not part of the package because I'm a big believer in him. But he is coming off Tommy John, and he hasn't thrown a ton of innings in his career anyway, so they're going to have to be careful with how they use him. I've read speculation he could be in the bullpen. I hope they reverse Strasburg him, you know, meaning that I would rather see him.
Oh, yeah, that's in play.
Reverse Strasburg.
Yep, that's definitely in play, and that has been discussed. And what was the thing about the speculation that he may be? Yes,
bullpen is fine, but to me, I'd rather because I think he's such an important piece, and obviously you don't want to overtax him, especially coming back from. So let him get a late start and let him catch up to innings where they matter most. That's the way I would do it. And you said that's in the plans.
Yes, I can confirm to you that there are three outcomes for spring training with Alex Reyes that the team would hope happen. The fourth would be that he's still on the DL and needs more time. But here are the three outcomes, right? One, he could be in the major league bullpen. One, he could be in the major league rotation. That seems the least likely of the three. One, he could be in the AAA rotation. Those are the three possibilities that they see, and they'll let his health and performance dictate that. They'll also let the moves around him. I mean, if they don't need him in the bullpen, right, then they'd rather him get controlled innings in a controlled setting where they can control everything in Memphis.
I would rather, I mean, if they're going to limit him to 140 innings, whatever they said, I would hope that they, all right, just make sure he's well and ready to go, and let him take some time off at the beginning. Go slow, slow. So if they need him in the rotation, which I happen to think they will, if they want to compete, then he's fine for the second half, which obviously is okay. So we're on
the phrase that I heard was that they reverse engineer it, so that he's ready for September and what they want to have happen in October. A little bit like they've done. I mean, they kind of did with Weaver a little bit. That was brought on by injury. They were allowed to do that, but they certainly did it. But yes, the phrase there is that they would reverse engineer it. Or
I like reverse
Strasburger.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, real quickly, Derek, because there's nothing we enjoy more than arbitrary percentages assigned to the probability of the outcome of this. Craig Mish
is second time this week I've heard that.
Yep. Craig Mish is now at 40-40-20. 40 Giants, 40
changed.
Doug?
Yeah, Doug had some insight.
I don't know what changes. Wildfires in L.A., I guess.
Hey, Derek, do you like, by the way, that I am cited as a source on MLB Network's intentional talk on the latest?
That was epic.
I mean, what in the hell? How did that even happen?
I mean, I don't know, but, man, you got something I couldn't. I mean, all I could do is report 2 days before that the Cardinals wanted to have a case with Stanton, and then it happened. But no, man. No, go on.
Yeah, I've got.
And we were just talking about this. Like, it's hard, you know.
His dad
like,
does that.
If I for some reason didn't read something, it's hard for me to keep score. But that doesn't mean that I'm for people getting credit when they don't. You've been a lot of people, Derek, read what you write and then make their own assessment and then go forward with it, and you get no credit for any of it. And instead, Tim gets credit.
It was fun. It was fun.
But the thing is, you didn't say that, and I didn't say that, so I don't know where. I truly don't know where it came from.
I know.
I don't really care, but I'm just like, how in the hell did they get that?
I mean, this is just. I don't know, man. I have no idea. I think it's what I said, and maybe I'll get a T-shirt made that says "Reporting Abhors a Vacuum," and you know, or maybe and. Too often we have just like people shouting to replace the vacuum. I don't know. It's become very weird. And a lot, I mean, I know we're talking about this live on the radio, but man, I imagine a lot of us are going to be talking about this at the GM meetings when we're in the media workroom, just about like what is happening. Because, it's just a weird thing where now the person who guesses first, I don't even know. I can't even describe it. But that was a great through the looking glass moment where you and I were talking about, I believe, like what would be some alternatives the Cardinals could look at, right? And it's like, well, this would be out there. And there is absolute, and you know, in the Post-Dispatch the other day, I wrote it. There is actual, tangible reporting proof that the Cardinals have talked to the Rays about Alex Colome. And they have had discussions about expanding that or shifting that to Evan Longoria. Evan Longoria would be somebody the Cardinals would consider moving for. And if the Rays are going to trade him, now is the time before he gets 10-5 rights and has to go through this whole same no-trade zone. So that's legit. But I think we were talking about, like, could it be expanded to somebody else, like an Archer? And I was mentioning about the appeal of him, but not that there had been action on that, which is just fascinating. But that's the thing, is like the percentages, I mean, I don't know. I've been invited to go on a few of these shows, and I'm like, what do I do if, like, I'm talking to somebody
for percentages,
who, like, just, right?
No, but what if I'm on a show with somebody who's just trampled all over me on Twitter, taken what I've written and added some saucy lingo to take credit for it? And it's like, what do I do? You guys know me well enough. I'm not sure I would be able to bite my lip.
Yeah, I don't blame you on that, because that is your gig. Like, reporting isn't, like, remotely, it's your career.
I could kind of lose my job if I don't do it, right?
Yeah, and so for them, somehow I'd be attributed to it.
I don't know, because I always tweet out from at D Gould on at TMASTL and then whatever it is that you're saying. So I don't know how that can. But the thing is, not only did I not say it, but then you didn't say it either. So I don't know what the hell the thing was about. Anyway, percentages, because they're so important. Doug, they're huge.
Yeah. And they've changed. Sure they are. What changed? Yeah. What changed? I got to know what changed.
Well, it was a new day. He needed a new article. He had to come up with a different opinion. He can't
and we still don't know that, right? We still don't know where the Dodgers are, and yet their stock keeps going up.
Well, I mean, we have, yeah, you're right. I mean, I think, well, okay, go to the percentages, and I'll get my answer.
His percentage was Giants 40, Dodgers 40, Cardinals 20. Giants have moved down to 40, Dodgers have moved up, Cardinals have dropped 20.
All right. This is my view of that, that if you're going to rob from anybody to inflate the Dodgers, you've robbed from the Giants.
Wow, wow, wow.
So the more two elements to this. Reading that story in the Chronicle yesterday, I thought it was really interesting because the comments were like, wait, what? Is this helping your cause or hurting it? Or are you saying this because you're out? You know, like, you could go any different direction with that, right? With speculation. So I just like, all right, try to cut out the noise and just read what the things are. And I thought it was very clear that, you know, the Giants see the Dodgers as a threat to them and not the Cardinals, who have made a better offer and likely offer to take on the same amount of money or more of Stan's contract at this point. Some of that is depending on the prospects. So you have those two things. So if you don't think the team that made a better offer than you is your threat, then man, what are your chances, right? Mm-hmm. If you have this Dodgers paranoia. So I think it really does come down to like, all right, if the Marlins make it so that they will only accept the Cardinals deal and have Stanton choose between Cardinals and the Marlins, the Cardinals' chances go up. If the Marlins have gone to Stanton and say, we like this deal from the Giants, we like this deal from the Cardinals, what do you want us to do? And Stanton says, I want to wait in the Dodgers. Then it doesn't matter what the percentages are for the Cardinals and the Giants, because Stanton's already cast his die, and it's whatever percent, however many percent you want, it's all Dodgers. So I think the jockeying of percentages, you know, while the Cardinals usually end up on the low end, it's not that they're being compared to the Dodgers because they don't have a chance against the Dodgers. And Stanton would have already accepted a trade. If they're being compared to the Giants, well, they made a better offer than the Giants. So maybe the Marlins find that more compelling and don't ever give Stanton a chance to approve the Giants.
Well, give your percentages, though. I'm doing
that. You need like a weighted system.
No, but just give percentages, and then I'm going to say I'm hearing that, and then I'll tweet it out, and then MLB will give me a mention.
Maybe even throw in a Mount Rushmore of teams like that.
Or fries. Tag it with your favorite fries, and then we can let you go.
Okay. All right. Cool. No. I don't know how to put percentages on it, except for it goes back to what we talked about the other day, is why hasn't he said no yet? If the Cardinals have no chance, why just say no?
You think it's because the Dodgers are trying to just move some of the dead money somewhere else?
Yeah, that's part of it. Yeah, they're trying to. But I do think this is the point, is that if you're making percentages on where Stanton wants to go, 40% is too low for the Dodgers. If you're making percentages on the chance the Dodgers think of making this trade, then 40% is too high.
Yeah, that's a good
answer. As long as he gave percentage.
Yeah, let's be clear. The Mount Rushmore is Giants, Dodgers, Cardinals, Marlins.
Wow.
Well, but who is the Marlins in this regard? Like, is it, you know, is that
someone you can hardly see?
Roosevelt?
Probably Roosevelt. You can hardly see him.
So, because the Dodgers would be the prominent Washington, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And Mount Rushmore wasn't finished because they ran out of funding, which is kind of where the Marlins are right now anyway, so it's
who's
really interesting.
Be the
that was nice.
Fan?
That was nice.
Cat?
What's that?
Jimmy Polk. Wasn't it going to be Jimmy Polk?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Is that what you're saying, Cat? Is that they were going to put a fifth base and they ran out of funding?
I read that, the thing was stopped before completion because they ran out of funding for it. And the Marlins, meantime, with a similar pattern, are looking for $250 million investors. You see my premise.
My gosh,
I don't
right.
have one at
it's
all.
It's a metaphor.
Yeah.
The final thought here, and I think this is important. I don't know how much attention this has gotten, but Giancarlo Stanton liked Hunter Pence's tweet, but he did not like Colton Wong or Dexter Fowler's tweet.
Doug, I didn't even know that.
These are the kinds of things that I do.
Yeah. I think there's a rift in the clubhouse, guys.
Yeah. See, so Doug, that might be something you want to lead with tonight on KMOV.
What I really need is Yadier Molina to clean this up on his Instagram. Really make it clear.
Derek, we always appreciate with you putting up with our nitwittery. Great reporting throughout the course of what I'm sure is a frustrating scenario. But looking forward to certainly the reporting from Orlando next week. That will be
Ben Fredrickson and I are going.
It'll be fun.
You there. Maybe we cannot have dinner or something.
Oh, wow.
Oh, so it'll be just like the regular season.
Yes.
Thank you, Derek.
See you, Derek.
All right, guys. See you.
All right, Goolsy.
That's Derek Gould with us on the Appliance Discounter phone line. Send your emails in for the Hot Shots email today. That comes your way in about 40 minutes. Kelly Chase is going to join us in about, 10 minutes. Brought to you by Petro Mart. We'll take a break. Come back with Kelly Chase here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After.